Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Death is no stranger to any of us. We have often watched the grim reaper come into our homes to snatch some loved one away. And we know about the sorrow that's left behind. We know about the pain that's brought to our heart. And we're made to realize that, as the Bible says in Hebrews 9, verse 27, that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Death comes every day to someone, and it comes someday to everyone. Well, in view of death being all around us, what should be our attitude toward death? We certainly need to realize that death came by sin, as we're told in Romans 5, verse 12, and that the sting of death is sin, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56. When God made man, He placed him in the beautiful Garden of Eden. He assigned him with the responsibility of dressing and keeping it. And I read in Genesis 2, verse 16 and 17, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." When man ate of that forbidden fruit, God said to him, Genesis 3:19, "For dust thou art, unto dust thou shalt return." So sin was the cause of death. But when God said, "For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return," He was not speaking of the soul, but speaking of the body. When death comes, we're told, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7. Thus death is a separation of the spirit from the body. And we're told that in James 2:26, "For the body without the spirit is dead." It isn't all of life to live, and it isn't all of death to die. Death is not an ending of it all. There's something beyond the grave. And while the body dies and goes back to the dust, the soul continues to live on and on throughout eternity. After death, there will be a judgment, Hebrews 9:27. Some fear death because they fear the judgment that's going to follow death. Jesus said in John 5, verse 28-29, "Marvel not at this," that is, don't be amazed, "the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Job 14, verse 14, the question is asked, "If a man die, shall he live again?" And later Jesus answered that question when He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." John 11, verse 25. Yes, all that are in the grave will come forth one day. There's going to be a great resurrection morning. Death does not end at all. Some will be resurrected unto condemnation. Some will be resurrected unto everlasting life. And the reason many fear death is that they're afraid of that resurrection of condemnation. Unless a man believes and receives Christ, he has every right to be afraid of the resurrection. For the Bible tells us it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God, Hebrews 10, verse 31. And while it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, it's even a more fearful thing to fall out of the hands of the living God. Well, should we fear death? When the Lord said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, He was speaking about those who were not ready to die. In the verse before that He said, "For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord." In the resurrection, vengeance will be meted or passed out to them who do not know God, to those that have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord. How do I know? The Bible tells me so in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. And we're told further, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels prove steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" that reading from Hebrews 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. And I ask in the words of Scripture, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Friends, there will be no escape. For that reason, it will be a fearful thing for the disobedient to fall into the hands of the living God. In Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, then He shall reward every man according to his works. But on the other hand, the Bible said, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness. The righteous hath hope in his death. Proverbs 14, verse 32. Friends, while death has its sting, and the very thought of it will frighten the hearts of many, the righteous man does not need to be afraid. He has a different view of death. He can see in death a great victory. He can fearlessly say to death, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, death does not have its sting, but the real sting of death is sin. Through Christ, we can be made free from sin, so that we can say, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. So, we don't have to fear death if we're seeking to harmonize our lives with the will of God. And there's another thing regarding death. Did you know that death is precious? The psalmist said in 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Now that's the Lord's view of death, and this can be our view. Well, how can the death of a saint be precious in the Lord's sight? It's because the saint has been living according to the will of God, and the Lord can see the victory that's available for that individual. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, we have this statement, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Oh, if we could only realize what great things are in store for the people of God, more people would be ordering their lives by the commandments of God. Jesus said in John 12:24, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And He said in John 14, in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But for man to occupy one of the mansions that God has prepared for him, that man must first make the exit from this world, and death is the exit. In death, the door to this world is closed, but the door to the next world is open. Death can be indeed precious in the sight of the Lord for the saint, for the one who has made preparation for that grand and glorious world that lies beyond. And another fact, in death, mortality shall put on immortality. In 1 Corinthians 15, I want to read verse 51 down through verse 54. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The wonderful victory available for the people of God, made possible through the death of Jesus Christ. Paul worded it this way in writing to the Philippians, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21. When the saint realizes that in death, mortality shall be put on immortality, that his vile body will be fashioned like unto the glorious body of Jesus, and that death would be swallowed up in victory, then he will no longer fear death, but will look upon death as something indeed that is precious. And again, I read from God's Word, 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through verse 3. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. With a view of death such as this, no wonder Paul could say, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." To Paul, life meant one thing. It meant to live for Christ. It meant to do the will of Christ. And friends, if we want to have that view and that optimism about death, we need to acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. With a heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and he must turn away from sins. Christ now commands all men everywhere to repent. Luke 13, verse 3 and verse 5. He commands and he wishes that men confess him before men. He says that when we will confess him before men, he'll confess us before the Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 10, verse 32. We must be willing to be buried with Christ in baptism. Mark 16, verse 16. In Romans 6, we're taught that in that we contact the cleansing blood of Christ, and we arise to walk in newness of life. As one faithfully lives for the Lord, walking in newness of life, worshiping and serving as God teaches in His Word, he can have that view of death that when the end comes, it's a going home to be with the Lord, but a fearful thing for those who are not ready. Until the next time I come your way, I bid you a very pleasant good afternoon.